Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show, and you know that tiny island nation of Cyprus? Go ahead, find it on Google Maps. We'll give you a minute. It's the latest economy threatening to bring down the whole of the EU, they say. And here to explain why the plan that EU leaders came up with for the country's bailout is causing markets to crash and pensioners to take to the streets and Vladimir Putin to be in revolt, it's Joseph Cotterill, reporter for the Financial Times Alphaville site, to do this explaining. Joseph, welcome to WNYC. Thanks for coming on. Joseph, can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you.
Great. So my first question is, why are we only hearing about this now? We've heard about Greece on the brink, Italy teetering, Spain, all these countries, and all of a sudden, boom, Cyprus over the weekend, and stock markets are going down around the world. Why did this seem to come out of nowhere?
It's a bit like when everyone knows it's a good idea to, like, kind of go to the gym and kind of take the pain of, you know, being overweight or whatever. That's essentially what they have to decide here, how to distribute the pain of a bailout. And not many people are noticing, really, that Cyprus first told the EU that it needed a bailout 9 months ago. You know, that's a very long time in the Eurozone crisis. And the reason why they waited so long is, well, they need to change the government, they need to talk to the Russians. You need the $3.2 billion loan, which you kind of mentioned at the top of the hour, came during that period. Now, when it comes to the idea that you should be taxing people's deposits, their insured deposits, to get some money to kind of share the pain of the bailout, that's a very controversial idea. And that really is why it's come in a single weekend. Because if you tell people months beforehand, right, we're going to start looking into your deposits and kind of taking money from there, mm-hmm. Well, what are people going to do? They're going to get their deposits out of the country. So I think that's one element.
It is quite a shocking thing. You wake up one Monday morning and you're told, hey, folks, there's going to be a 10% seizure of whatever's in your savings account. It's a little more for some people with more money and a little less for people with some less money in their accounts. But still, what a shock. And why is this only happening in the case of Cyprus, if it is only happening in the case of Cyprus? Because it seems like the bailouts have come from the European Economic Community in general, with the grudging acceptance of the German Chancellor Angela Merkel, right? This whole big EU or EEC bailout package for Greece, for Italy, for some other countries, but it looks like Cyprus is just leveling a tax on the individual bank accounts. Why the difference?
Okay, well, I think the first thing this is very hard for Americans in particular to understand, I think, because we have the FDIC, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. And if you go onto the FDIC website, they have a nice line in bold, and it says, no depositor has ever lost a penny of insured deposits since the FDIC was created in 1933. That's a federal promise. So if I was to put money in a bank in North Dakota, as opposed to one in kind of California, that level of insurance should be the same everywhere. And you kind of have to understand that's not the same in the Eurozone. You have 17 governments. You don't have the FDIC relying on Uncle Sam, ultimately, to backstop deposits. So that's kind of the first thing here. The second thing is two numbers, really. Cyprus, as you said, it's a tiny island, and it's hard to find on the map. It's an 18 billion euro economy. Now, that sounds like a big number, but I'm pretty sure there are communities in the Inland Empire or, you know, states like Vermont or whatever that are just as big as Cyprus. Mm-hmm. That's the first number. The second number is how many deposits are sloshing around that economy. It's 43 billion. 43 billion does not go into 18 billion. And there's very little else in the Cypriot economy which can really absorb the loss of the bailout. There are really only these deposits. And when you have a bailout which is costing about 60% of GDP, you can begin to understand why they need money after deposits, basically, which represents 33% of GDP. I mean, I know you mentioned, you know, there's a script now for these bailouts. There have been so many going back to Greece.
Right.
But it's those two numbers which make it unique, really.
Explain the Russian angle to me here. It turns out, I guess, that the Russians are particularly interested in these developments because they likely have between 20 billion and 25 billion euros in Cypriot banks, nearly a third of all deposits there. And by most accounts, these are mostly from very wealthy and influential individual Russians who like Cyprus's fairly lenient tax structure. So are Cypriot banks a little like Swiss banks, if I can make that comparison, and or Cayman Island banks to people in the United States? And people in Russia particularly like to offshore their savings there for some reason?
Yeah, I think the comparison's a little bit unfair to Swiss and Cayman banks, really. I think they're a bit cleaner than that. But on the other hand, there are genuine cultural ties between Cyprus and Russia. I mean, geographically, it's nearer to Russia, really, than Cyprus is to Germany. And they're both Orthodox Christian countries. Russia has a long history of supporting Cyprus at the United Nations because, as you know, Cyprus is actually a divided island. The part is kind of controlled by Turkey and is not recognized. So there's a geopolitical overlay there. And that's the reason why Cyprus has been used almost as a cash box by Russian companies and, yeah, it's fair to say, Russian oligarchs. But the point is, when Vladimir Putin himself says this deposit tax is unfair, unprofessional, and dangerous, and he has a point, and he has the moral high ground over you, you've gone wrong somewhere. Now, I think the point really is the unfair part is that they're hitting insured deposits. That's the little guy here, and it's quite literally ma and pa. People have less than 100,000 euros. That's unfair. They kind of really need to change that. The problem is that they're also leveling the deposits kind of above that level, and that's when you get to the Russians. And the dilemma they have here, really, is if they impose a double-digit tax on those Russians, the Russians will kind of run away, and we will get to a point where the banks collapse, and the deposit insurance, which they do provide to everyone, won't be able to pay out. And at the end of the day, small depositors get nothing as opposed to the 6% tax, which they would have to suffer at the moment.
So let me ask a counterintuitive question. Why shouldn't depositors, including lower-level depositors, be subject to this sort of tax? The government taxes income from labor, income from savings, capital gains, other financial transactions. Why not savings? Why is this so inherently bad?
It's a fair point. People do generally expect to be taxed on their wealth. And a wealth tax, you could argue, is less regressive than a tax on income. Because, you know, plenty of people do live paycheck to paycheck in Cyprus or in America. Like those, you know, the poor in particular, it can be quite, you know, regressive to make them pay like a high income tax as opposed to taxing their deposits. But you have to look at the arbitrary way in which this particular tax has been imposed. It's come days, really, after the government told its citizens that a depositor tax was a bad idea. It's only when they got to Brussels to kind of negotiate the last part of this bailout that they were told otherwise and that they would have to find the money. So you have to bear that in mind. It's fine to tax wealth. It's fine. We can debate these things. But we need time to debate them and to kind of consider the trade-offs.
Before you go,
what happened here.
Do you see implications for the United States at all?
In the sense that we should really just be thanking our lucky stars that the FDI exists and has existed for decades.
The FDIC?
That's the implication here, yeah. But you have to consider how different the U.S. is to Europe. I mean, as when it comes to the money in your 401k or what stocks are doing, you shouldn't worry, really, because Cyprus is, at the end of the day, even within the Eurozone, it's just 0.2% of Eurozone GDP. Note the decimal point. 0.2, not 2%. So it's very, very small. But it's really the precedent that this sets for Europe as a whole, and the idea that taxes like these can be imposed very swiftly and without much debate, which will ultimately make Europe a rather kind of dark place to come. So again, it's a very strange message because, you know, it won't affect anyone in the US really, but it will make the difference between the US and Europe more pronounced as time goes on.
By the way, since you casually mentioned the comparison between the GDP of Cyprus and that of some random state like Vermont, we looked it up, and sure enough, according to what we found online, the GDP of Cyprus is $24 billion in a year. The GDP of Vermont, $24.5 billion. So there you go. And that's just little Vermont, you know, a lot of dairy farms and some tourism and stuff.
Yeah, but at the same time, if the FDIC said one day, right, we're not going to insure deposits in Vermont anymore because it's kind of small, people would be rightly up in arms, even if it didn't crash the economy. So it's kind of like, you know, a plug hole is only 0.2% of the bathtub, but it's still a plug hole. It's still a problem.
Got it. Joseph Cotterill, reporter for the Financial Times Alphaville site. Thanks for explaining.
Thanks very much for having me.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Up next, behind the scenes with New York City's garbage collectors, with the department anthropologist, Robin Nagel. Did you know they have one? She is now the author of Picking Up on the Streets and Behind the Trucks with the Sanitation Workers of New York. Stay with us.